Welcome to the Claudio Relsano Show on claudiorelsano.com, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Claudio will be speaking to sports legends from the 70s, 80s, and 90s about their careers, business, and what they're doing now. He will also hold roundtable discussions with some old friends about trending topics in the world of sports. And now, here's Claudio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Claudio Relsano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center and Aspire Pediatric Therapy. As always, I want to thank Rick Mitchell for the introductions and my fantastic producer, Adam Zalouf. Some people have been emailing me about to remind them about our past episodes. So make sure you check our past episodes out. Last week we had Bernie Carbo on, the 1975 World Series hero, former number one contender, boxing contender, heavyweight, Jerry Cooney, Vinny Pazienza, Vince Ferragamo, Rocky Blyer, Jim Rooker. We've had a lot of great guests on, so make sure you check those guys out. Next week we have Shea Hillenbrand, 2002-2005 All-Star for the Boston Red Sox. Today's guest is someone who I've known for a long time. We grew up about a block from each other, if that. He is the head basketball coach and athletic director at Quaker Valley High School. Before that, he was the assistant AD and head of intramurals and club sports at Carnegie Mellon for a number of years, as well as serving as the assistant basketball coach, as I said. Since he's been head coach at WPI in high school, he is one of only 20 coaches that have had 500 wins, which is quite an accomplishment. He's won numerous championships, numerous awards, and for some reason I'm tongue-tied. I don't know why today. But anyway, welcome to the show, Mike Mastriani. Mike, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Claudio. Appreciate the invitation.
All right, man. I was looking forward to having you on. So I'm glad you finally had a chance to come on. We've had a lot of Quaker Valley guys come on. Sam LaFaso, Jerry Vecchio. We're going to have John Gattano on, one of your guys. So we've had a lot of great Quaker Valley people on. So, all right, let's get on with the current news with the COVID. Obviously, you're an athletic director. There's been some schools that have shut down some sports. You know, what's going on with Quaker Valley sports thus far, and any predictions on what's going to happen? I know that's a tough question, but nobody's ever gone through this before, obviously, and things have been crazy. What do you think is going to happen with football and soccer and of course, basketball?
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's not a roadmap. There's not a plan before you, which is the right way to go. And geez, I mean, the biggest part is just how fluid it is. And you know, in every day, today I walked in my office this morning. By the end of the day, this afternoon, there's three or four different things. You know, the thing that makes this so difficult is that when there's one change, there's like the athletic directors around this area, we sort of talk it as 25 or 30 different layers just because of what it affects and how widespread it is. But, you know, that the PIA is moving forward and they have the green light to try this like as a positive step. So I guess in that respect, where everyone is trying to stay positive and moving forward and getting prepared. So this summer, when the governor and the state passed it, all the schools had to put an athletic health and safety plan together. We did that at Quaker Valley. It took us about a month to put together at our June school board meeting. It passed. And that enabled our off-season, especially our fall sports, to get started. The health and safety plan is a gradual build-up, and with us staying within all the COVID rules and CDC and making sure that our number one priority, as always, is that our student-athletes were safe. And we're in our third week with our fall sports. And actually, I just completed one. Actually, it's our fourth week with our fall sports. I take that back. And we completed 1 week and a day today with our basketball team. So our winner, our girls' basketball team, has actually been in there for a while. So to predict where it's going to be, and it's very difficult, you know, I mean, as you can see here, the bigger the scope, the more kids are going to get involved. I think you're going to see more issues, but, you know, we're trying to move forward and just stay positive with it, I guess, is the right approach.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a crazy time. I know what you mean by when you say you every day something new happens and three other things come with it. So it's, like I said, a crazy time. All right. Well, as far as coaching and your career, when did you know that you wanted to be a coach, Mike? When did you get that bug that you said, this is what I want to do with my life?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know when the exact time, but I always felt, even when I played, which was a very long time ago, I felt that I sort of had that edge or always enjoyed that piece of it. And I liked it. It's probably because I wasn't as good, definitely wasn't as athletic, so I had to figure out another way to try to play. So, but I always enjoyed that side. I mean, growing up in sport and just really enjoying that aspect of it. And then as I got older and I get through my college years, I think it probably grew a lot more. And then realizing that there are many options out there for that to be a career. You know, at first you're not really sure which way to go and which steps to take that can get you there. But, you know, there's not one set piece that works. There's not right. one rule that gets you from this place to the end. There's many different ways. And but now I probably felt at an early age that it was definitely something that I really enjoyed and thought would be a good match.
Who were some of the coaches that you looked up to that you that were like role models, be it coaches that you played for or guys that you saw on TV?
Well, I mean, when I was a young guy, very young, my uncle was the head coach of Quaker Valley, Vince Cortez, and was there for a number of years. And he coached Keith Starr, who you said you had on here, and Keith, you know,
right.
Keith was when we were younger, and you know, if you are correct, we grew up steps away from each other, so Keith was the big icon, and my uncle was the coach, so I remember seeing that at an early age, being able to see him, and that, you know, he went to Pitt, and then played at Pitt, and they played at such a high level. I think all those things were probably engaging to me at a young age, and then, you know, then Keith actually, through him, came down and ran camps and brought the Pitt players down, and you know, Billy Knight, and these were players at that time, obviously, that were at the highest level and playing at a high level across the country, just not, you know, Pitt players.
Right.
So I think that probably was a starting point. My uncle being a coach there, and I, you know, I was just thinking the other day, you know, it was probably, 50 years ago, that I saw the first game in the gym I'm coaching at. So I, you know, as a young guy was able to go watch those games in there and knew right away it was something that I really enjoyed. And then, you know, then I played for Alan Carson at Quaker Valley, who you would know. And
sure.
And which would have been in the late 70s. And he was really, really, really a smart coach. And someone that was still disciplined and had that end in it. And you know, I took a whole other angle from his end. And some of the things that some other guys didn't really enjoy, I felt myself enjoying, and I sort of thought I was the oddball out because, like, I thought, you know, a lot of things he was teaching, he was really he was a Bobby Knight disciple and an excellent teacher and really a smart guy that understood the game. So he helped me. And then through college, I met a lot of people. I met a lot of coaches at Slippery Rock that were really good. And then after I got out of college, I was in grad school and finished up, I made a phone call. I played an all-star game for John Gattano, and John, the guy you're going to have on here. I reached right. out to him because I knew him. And I think my 3 years under John were really, really like basketball 101 for me. John was an outstanding coach. He was a teacher, a counselor, so he understood kids. And, you know, he probably put the whole thing together on me and understanding the bigger picture and organized guy and just someone. And he was so, you know, I felt bad. I thought he was actually coaching me this year as I was there because I was asking him so many questions, but he was so opening. And yeah, he was another guy that I have a lot of gratitude for.
Now you graduated from Quaker Valley and you obviously became the head coach. You have a ton of family here and friends. Was that more pressure for you than your other coaching stops coaching here?
I never really looked at it as pressure. I obviously feel fortunate. I think the other way around, you know, I wasn't looking for that to be the end goal, but realized that it was a great option. It turned out to be, if that makes sense. I mean, I went to grad school and had a business degree and had a sports management degree. And I applied to almost every college in the country to try to get a job at, and fortunately, the one up the street at Carnegie Mellon is the one that answered. So that sort of helped me and opened up the door. But I, you know, at that time I was really waiting to try to get in somewhere. That was the time when they used to send you letters, and I think I had like a huge box of rejection letters of trying to get in, but I kept trying, and that was just something I wanted to get into. But no, I never looked at it that way. I actually looked at it as part of trying to build a community and try to build something that was consistent, and then obviously being there, taking a lot of pride and making sure that it was going to be a successful program, that's the right things, and you know, trying to build some success. I always remember watching my uncle's teams and just watching how they had good teams all the time, and just wondering, like, well, this could be bigger than basketball, could be something special. So I can always remember that being part, maybe of the drive and thinking that way many years ago. And you know, at that time, I was playing, and I kept looking around saying, like, these guys here that can play, we've had pretty good athletes.
All right. Well, before we get into the CMU years, we're going to take a quick commercial break to hear from our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar at 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. And criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Lurie, with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308. We're right back with Quaker Valley head basketball coach and athletic director Mike Mastriani.
The doctor is in. Hi, this is Dr. Roscoe at the Roscoe Allergy Center and the Roscoe Hearing Care Center. It is important to let you know that we are going above and beyond to ensure your safety. Our staff and I are practicing all necessary guidelines to ensure safe treatment and comfort. There is no need to suffer and wait. Let us help you now to improve you or your loved one's quality of life. The Roscoe Allergy Center and the Roscoe Hearing Care Center in Dubois. Call us today, 814-375-0455. Or visit us at roscoehearing.com.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Dom Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.
Okay, everyone, we're back with Mike Mastriani. Mike, talk to us about your Carnegie Mellon years. Obviously, that and Mike, I didn't mention this at the outset. Mike had a big hand in bringing me to Carnegie Mellon, or hiring me, putting his stamp on it, which I will always appreciate. And if you can believe it, Mike, that was 15 years ago. That flew by pretty quick.
Yes, it did. Just 15 years. Oh, my.
Yeah, 15 years. Unbelievable. I mean, how many times I used to stop over, you know, to your office and talk with you a little bit. And it seems like maybe, I don't know, 4 years ago that I started. But it's crazy that it was that long ago.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I was fortunate that you were available, and that when I knew you were available and it was something you had an interest in, and obviously the last 15 years of shows in CMU baseball is a whole other place under your leadership, and fortunate for that student, that population of the student body there, and everyone, you know, you've been there for a while, everyone picks those kids obviously at a high level academically, but they do other things, and they like to do other things as well. And they're interested in him, and you were been a terrific match there.
Well, again, I can't thank you enough for everything you did, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, man, you made it easy.
Well, I don't know. It's like I said about how fast it went. I remember telling some of the kids, some of the players, when you graduate, I'm going to be 44. When you graduate, I'm going to be 47. Well, hell, I'm done saying that, Mike, because this class, when they graduate, I'm going to be 60. So I'm done saying that anymore.
Yeah, you stopped carrying that number. Yeah, absolutely.
Man.
I understand that one. Yes.
But so tell us about your years at Carnegie Mellon. Obviously, like you said, it's I always say it's like an Ivy League school. It's just in Pittsburgh. It's high academic, but you know, they've had some great sports programs there. But tell us about your job and your responsibilities and everything that you've done there.
Well, I mean, I was extremely fortunate after grad school at Slippery Rock, and like I mentioned a little while ago there, I did apply to a number of schools, and then CMU did create an opening, and I was hired under an athletic director named Jim Banner. Jim Banner was a Pitt guy. He was a track coach at Pitt for many years, and track coach there, and then they brought me in on the intramural club sport level to try to help with those programs. Those programs, they were pretty popular, and for a young guy, it was a perfect match for me, just coming out of grad school and getting into collegiate atmosphere and being in an athletic department. And there were so many high level coaches. There, Chuck Clousey in football just retired. Rich Lackner just taken over. Rich is still a football coach there, a tremendous guy, a good friend of mine, and a number of high level coaches there. So as a young guy, I was able to grow there in my position, and eventually become intramural director, club sport director, and then eventually moved up to assistant athletic director, associate athletic director there. So I wore a lot of hats. I was actually the men's basketball assistant when we got into the UAA, which is a national conference, and we hired actually the current coach, Tony Wiggin, is a good friend of mine. When he came there many years ago, 30 years, he was new to the area, and I was his assistant for the first couple of years as he got used to the area. So I was able to coach at a young age at the collegiate level, which was very helpful, and a very high level league in basketball, probably one of the premier leagues in Division III. So the thing that was great there, I got to do so many different things and make decisions in many areas. And then as I move forward in my career and in my current position, you know, I think all those things actually helped me. And I worked under a very famous intramural director, Earl Birdie, who's a famous Pittsburgh guy, and can't right. say enough good things about him. And he was just such a good mentor to me as well. And you know, he was a big time football official. I worked there, walked in his office the first day in a big picture, him and Bear Bryant arguing with each other.
Wow.
So, a lot of history there, and just a terrific experience, and I feel very fortunate that I was able to have that opportunity at such a young age.
Well, I know they still talk about you up there. A lot of people say, hey, and I've had Tony on the show as well, but they still ask about you, and so you certainly left your mark up there for sure. Tell us about, now before Quaker Valley, tell us about some of your other high school coaching stops.
Well, I mean, I was coaching at CMU for a couple of years, and then actually I was married four or five years and starting a family, and sort of was trying to make a decision on which way was the best way to go, to continue to chase the collegiate thing, which would mean, you know, chasing it and you have to jump in with 2 feet and want to really do that. And made a decision that I really enjoyed high school coaching at that point. And so that's when I started looking for high school coaching positions, and was hired as the head coach at Keystone Oaks in 1992. Was able to spend my first 3 years as a head coach there. And again, I appreciate the opportunity there. And still, you know, many of those guys that I coached there, I still have lifetime relationships with. And we found some early success there, which probably helped out a little bit. And spent 3 years there before I returned to Quaker Valley as the head coach a few years later. And then I was at Quaker Valley, geez, I'm always not good with the years, but maybe 8 or 9 years. And then an opportunity at Bethel Park, they approached me, which is a quite a school. And there was something about trying to coach at the highest level and trying to just maybe check a box there, and felt that the timing was right at that point to do that. And then spent 4 good years at Bethel Park. We were very young and had some growing pains, but we played in such a very competitive league with Mount Lebanon, Upper St. Clair, Shar Valley, Peters Township. I mean, those teams were outstanding, and you know, we were able after 4 years to win a championship. But just really those team, we actually did over COVID here, we did a Zoom of our WPL championship, and those guys are terrific, and lifetime connections with those guys. And so that was a terrific experience. But then my kids were getting older, and I felt I was just an opportunity with them to return to Quaker Valley, which ultimately was the right decision for me.
Right.
Just fortunate that I've been able to do that, come back, and just feel real lucky.
You know, whenever you said that but you had to jump in with both feet, and I'm sure that you could have gotten a lot of college coaching jobs with your experience and how good you are at it. But as soon as you said that, it brought me to mind that I had several pro opportunities to coach professional baseball here in the States and overseas. And I turned them down, and people said, "Oh, you're crazy for turning them down." But I didn't want, as you know, I live in the same house I grew up in. I wanted stability for my family. I didn't want to move to Kentucky for 2 years and Illinois for 1 year, then San Diego for 3 years, or maybe even, you know, get fired and have to start over again. So I'm with you there. And Jim Valvano used to have a great quote. He used to say, "Don't mess with happy." And, you know, so I give you credit for doing that. I mean, again, some people may have thought, "Oh man, you're crazy for not taking a college job," but you definitely knew what you were doing. It was a smart move for sure.
Yeah. You know, hundreds of clinics I've been to, and, you know, as a young coach many years ago, but the one that sticks to me a lot is just that, you know, if you make your place utopia, then you're fulfilled. And that's sort of what you have to look at, because, you know, one person that sits in one of those jobs, and if you continue to worry about the ones you don't have, you'll forget to worry about what you're doing and the one you're at. So if you make that place where you are the best it can be, and you enjoy the whole experience, then sort of. So that one stuck with me. That was an early clinic.
Bloom where you're planted, my dad used to say. Bloom where you're planted. You know, and you certainly have, for sure. Now, you've had many great teams. Talk about a few. I know this is tough to think about, but, you know, talk about a few teams that stand out.
Excuse me. It's difficult. I mean, we've had so many good teams here over the years, and just so many guys that were dedicated. I mean, yeah, I would have to say, like, my first Keystone Oaks teams, like, you know, I was a young coach, and I wish I knew a lot more, because we were fortunate the first couple of years to win, and I look back and see them and think I could have given them more space maybe to grow, and well, they were good. We had, you know, we had some really good players in the first 2 years, but, you know, my teams at Quaker Valley, when I first started, again, I was a younger coach at that time, and we started a lot of young guys. I think that the 97, 98, 99 Quaker Valley teams would definitely be in that window. I mean, we won the section 3 years in a row, and then WPL championship and a state runner-up, and just good kids, coachable. They loved being in the gym. They were definitely that window of teams that ranked in there. And then my final two teams at Bethel Park, it's funny, those teams take on similar personalities, just the level of toughness and just loving to be in the gym. And then this last few years here, we've had just a really, really high-level run. You know, and we've had some really high-level teams in the last 4 years of the 24 years we've played 4A, and we really played at a high level, and the group of kids we've had here would definitely rank in it. But I don't want to forget some of those other teams.
Right.
As you know, Claudio just went through here. You know, my enjoyment is as much as those teams, or seeing some teams that we may not have had as much talent, but, you know, we were there, we made some playoff runs with different groups, and, you know, those teams as well. Our 12 team that was a team that'll stick out for me as well. That team went to the state semifinals, and we didn't have a six. We had a six footer, maybe at center, 6'1", and then just a bunch of guys, and they were just fun. We made a great state playoff run with that group too. So, you know, I don't want to shortchange any of those groups.
No, right. But you're right though. It's not just the teams that, you know, won championships, won titles, conferences, whatever. It's a lot of the teams that this one particular team that I had at CMU, we didn't, we just finished, I believe, one game over 500, but I'll never forget that team. You know, the way they played and how hard they went at it. So that's, they're definitely special for sure. Now, before we talk about I'm sorry, go ahead. You go ahead.
Yeah, well, I tell, you know, wear my other hat here as the athletic director, and, you know, we do end of the year and one-on-one meeting at the view the season and actually just to see needs and wants, direction of the program. But you know, in those meetings, we never talk about wins and losses. I've never talked about one in any of those meetings. But, you know, what I do talk to them about and what I say to them is that a successful, and especially at the high school level and at the college level, Division III, where you are, is that you maximize your potential. And, you know, we're not always going out and getting guys in at those levels. You're working with student athletes that you have there. And, you know, I tell our guys, look, maximizing your potential in one particular year could be two wins, but, you know, the next year it might be 18. So if you're able to do that, you're a successful coach. And it's
right.
Not necessarily on the amount of wins. And I think anybody like yourself has been coaching for a while totally understands that. And that's our motto, Quaker Valley. I mean, as my athletic director has, that's clear to do, because as a coach, you know that you turn, you're in it. You don't need any more pressure than that.
Right.
Like you're competitive attack, and everybody wants to, you know, get after it. So just try to be supportive in that area.
Right. Now, before we talk about your current team and the current other sports teams of Quaker Valley, how is coaching different now than when you first started? If it is at all?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, when people ask that one a lot, and I still think that, you know, I tell this all the time, kids still want discipline. They want structure. Young athletes, high school athletes, 9-12 want structure. They may not necessarily know it. They may not understand it fully, you know, as a 9th and 10th grader, but as they stick in a program, you can see that there's a want and there's a need for it. And then those that usually don't and have a hard time with that probably are ones that aren't going to stay the course anyway. So I would say that part of it still remains the same. I think the difficult part is that there's just so many different options now that are not related to the high school team. You know, I think growing up, you know, at least in my era and a little bit when I first started coaching, I mean, your high school team is what you work with and what you did, you know, whether it was year-round or in the summer. And that was your only option. Now, just with the way things are built and with AAU and the different options of just being seen. And I'm not saying that in negative. There's nothing right or wrong about it. I don't think it's negative. It's just the way it is. So, and it's very beneficial today for high school student athletes to be seen. I mean, there's a whole other avenue for them to play. And, you know, I know a lot of coaches have been around that I talk to try to fight that. I haven't been one to try to fight it. I think any opportunity that you get to play that helps you grow and improve is to your advantage as a young guy. And I've tried to make it a positive thing. And, you know, a lot of times when you have kids that come back and are taught one way and you have an area to break down, but I've never really felt that was like that big an issue when they came back in our program, that they're out there and that they love to play and have different options to play. I think you're better off as a coach.
Right.
Celebrating that with them and instead of fighting that. And I think back in our day, I think you'd understand that you would maybe get some pushback from a coach that you were maybe out there, you know, playing for some other guy. So that's probably the biggest difference now, because they're hearing some different voices out there. And then, you know, in that part in turn gets more parents involved because they're, you know, they're coaching them year round and their parents are engaged with them. But, yeah, I've tried to turn that into a positive. But the discipline factor, I think, is still the same. You're still the same age. You're still young. You may not totally understand it, but it's something that's an important piece to becoming a better player.
You know, the one thing, though, real quick before we go to commercial, that I don't see, I'll just speak for baseball, and I don't see many pickup games anymore. I know even if we had maybe 6 guys, okay, we would 3-on-3 play double or nothing, or basketball. You know, we had John Manitz on the show too, and we talked about one time Silvio Mastroianni and I were watching Villanova against Georgetown, and it was a real intense game, right? So Silvio got all hot, and he calls Jerry Tignanelli. He's, Jerry, get some guys. Let's go play basketball, you know, at St. James. And we had a blast. Joe Mastroianni, you know, he used to always be the point guard, and you know, all those guys. But there was a lot of pickup games, and I don't see that today. In baseball, for sure, you never see guys in a parking lot playing double or nothing. Or if we just had 2 of us, we'd play strikes, you know, balls and strikes or bunts or whatever. What do you think of that? That you just don't see as many pickup games as there used to be.
No, you're right on, Claudio. I mean, you're nailing it. I mean, I probably 15 or 20 years ago that it, you know, I sort of used to call it, you know, refrigerator. You know, they have every gym to go to for AU or a tournament that weekend that they're traveling to. And I think what really has hurt on that part of it is not their skill set, because instead of going to a park, they're in a gym. So they're still playing, and they're playing maybe with a little bit more ease and a nicer place. But what has happened there is, I always say this, is when, you know, coaches say, hey, high school kids, there's not enough leadership in them. That's what happens. So when you go to the park, I think you just learn leadership. You're on your own. You're dealing with some other different people. You're learning right away. You want to play, what you need to do. You're learning all kinds of other intangibles. And I think all those intangibles lead to leadership. And then that's the part that's missing. It's funny you brought that up. Our summer program, which is the first year I've not been able to do this, is because there's not any pickup courts at Quaker Valley outdoors. Full court. There's right. One on Maple Lane now that they used to put up. And I just heard many of our former players play there, and that just, I couldn't be happier, because it's like a lost art. But
yeah,
we open our gym. I mean, our gym all summer is like a live, it's like pickup games. That's all we do. And I try to make it as close to pickup atmosphere for about 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an understanding of how to fight and learn. Not the same as being in the park and being out there, but it's like the best we can make it. And that's been for many years.
It was special. Like I said, we used to really enjoy playing pickup games, and it also brought a certain toughness too. But it was fun. It was special, and it's something that I'm sad to see go. And I'll say this too, and this is not a knock. You know, Jimmy Zapparo, a chef at 424. Jimmy used to play. I always use him as an example. Jimmy played baseball with us all the time, football with us all the time, and basketball with us all the time. And he played so much that whenever he played organized ball, you know what, he competed pretty good because he played so much with us. He just didn't play, you know, the organized high school sports or the summer league, you know. And so the more, like you mentioned earlier, the more you play, the better you're going to be. And
Well, you're so right. There's so many of these guys, because that was your number one option for you to play.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, you know, you're going down the street with your AU team or a travel team, because
right. There was no travel team.
Yeah. You were traveling to the park on your bike and try to get in a game. That was about it. So.
Right, right. All right. Well, we're going to take another quick commercial break here from our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. By the way, Mike, Dom Pecora, he's the head football coach at East Allegheny. He owns Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of our sponsors. And
they were in a, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's a good guy, really good guy. And yeah. Criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Lurie, with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308. We're right back with Quaker Valley Athletic Director and Head Basketball Coach Mike Mastriani.
It's so nice to be outside this time of year to enjoy boating, fishing, gardening, and golf.
How about swimming and playing in the park, Grandpa?
Yes, it is, Parker. Unless you're experiencing sneezing, headaches, nasal congestion, itchy, watery eyes, and hives, it's allergy season.
Can you help people feel better, Grandpa?
Yes, Parker. At the Roscoe Allergy Center in Dubois, folks can get relief so they can enjoy their summer. Call us today, 814-375-0455.
Solutions with the care you've been looking for.
Gotcha.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Aspire Pediatric Therapy in locations Moon Township, Pennsylvania at 993 Broadhead Road, Suite 10, and Banksville at 2893 Banksville Road, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. North Hills area, Pines Plaza Shopping Center, 1130 Perry Highway, Suite 120, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in the Punxsutawney area, 1464 North Main Street, Suite 14, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and the city of Pittsburgh in the north side, 1301 Beaver Avenue, Suite 10, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And remember to check out their website for all of their information at AspirePediatricTherapy.com. We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Don Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.
Okay, Mike, tell us about your 2020-2021 basketball team.
Well, I think I need to start with saying that I hope I had the opportunity to coach them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic, like you said, trying to be positive.
We are. Yeah, and I am too. Right. And the reason I hope I get to coach them is because, last year was probably one of the youngest teams that we started in a number of years. We have started some sophomores at Quaker Valley through the years. We're fortunate to have some sophomores that have come through our program here and recently that have started. 2 years ago, 4 or 5, we started two with Ricky Gus and Coltrane Washington. And then the year before that, Amos Leptek started as a sophomore. But last year, we started three. And been a long time before we were able to put three sophomores on the floor. So in saying that, we have three sophomore guys that played in the league that we played in, which is extremely high level returning, and then another senior that played and started majority of the games for us this year. So we have a really good nucleus of guys that are basketball guys that are hungry and a good core around them. So we'll be excited for the upcoming season. A lot of dedicated guys that put a lot of time into. I would start with Deuce here. I would do be, he started as a freshman for us too, off and on. So he would be entering his third year. And I always, as a coach and being here, usually your third year is maybe your senior year because you get the opportunity as a sophomore to start, but his third year is his junior year. And really there's like a huge jump of understanding when we hit that third year. So he'll be in that, which is a great starting point as a coach and someone with his skill set. And then Marcus Frank, who's another rising junior, just had an unbelievable sophomore season for us. 6'5", extremely athletic, get to the basket, and could score, and had numerous 20-plus games as a sophomore against some very high-level Newcastle, Ambridge, Blackhawk, some Valley teams that were really, really good. And Zach Gardner would be another one of our guards and just a tough, played every game, started every game for us. And James Davis is a returning little winger too as well. James just really stepped in last year and just like a quiet worker, like a good burn, about 6'3", very athletic. So we have a good nucleus to start and a lot of other resources around them of guys that have been working on it. So I hope we get the opportunity this year to play. And yeah, like every other year, our league will be very competitive and tough. But we're hoping with this season we get a chance to at least get something in. I'm hearing different versions of whether this be section games or whatever that may be. Hope we get that opportunity.
How about some of the other sports? What's the outlook for as far as on the field, football and everything else, soccer? How are they looking this year?
Our football team, will start with the fall sports. Our football team is a good young, a lot of young players. It's probably the strength of our football program. It's probably, in terms of our numbers, are probably 9, 10 and some of our junior class. So they definitely will have some good years coming in front of them. They're going to definitely have some experience, but we have some good young football players. Saying that, when you're playing in a league with Central Valley now, with football being young in football, it's sometimes difficult just because of the level we're playing. We're playing with state championship section. But we have a terrific coach on that. Maylock's an outstanding coach. We're good to have him there in that role. So we're growing that program. We'll definitely teach out, but then they put in so much time. They're always working. Boys soccer, Quaker Valley. I would soccer program rivals probably anyone's across the state. I mean, we unfortunately lost our terrific coach, Andrew Marshall, resigned at the end of the season, young family, and coaching our boys team was his third job, not his second job. So we both cried together, as I tell everybody, because he didn't want to go, and I didn't want him to go. And all he did was follow a legend like Gene Klein and Andrew, and 5 years, won a couple state championships, and was runner-up state champion, and two runner-up WKL and two WKL championships. So not a bad resume. And I think we'll be strong again. We hired JJ Vesher, who's been our longtime assistant there. And you know, the thing I love about JJ is that he's carrying the torch as a player and an assistant coach, and he truly, truly just understands what his boys soccer stand for it.
Right.
So him, he's not gonna let that fall. Jamie Birmingham's our girls coach, our girls soccer team. It's a good senior leadership. We're expected to have a good solid team there. And then, you know, we have a lot of coaches that have been with us for a while. Our volleyball coach, Mike Baver, in double digit years. He does a good job. Christy Hayes is a Slipley lifetime tennis pro. Been around. She's been our coach. She's actually our girls tennis coach, boys tennis coach. She's outstanding. Our golf team has been good over the year with Greg Ducci. And then Brian Kelly's a middle school teacher. He's taken over as our cross country coach. And he's outstanding. So good people in place. And you know, our kids continue to work hard and put time into all their individual sports.
Well, you certainly, one of the things I most admired and was glad that you did was enhance the Quaker Valley sports past and obviously continuing it up with its present and future. I mean, you know, going to other schools and you see that they would celebrate their past with trophies and halls of fame and pictures and things like that. And I'm glad that you have done that and with the Quaker Valley Hall of Fame and with the teams on the field, what they've accomplished. So that's certainly a big accomplishment and a feather in your hat for sure. Was that something that was important to you when you took over the job to say, I just want to enhance our past while still, you know, making our present and future even better?
Yeah. I mean, just knowing how much was there and just the level of people that have come through there that I thought it was an area that needed to pick back up. So the Hall of Fame was started by Sam Lafazo, in the 1990s. And
92, I believe.
Yeah, and it lasted, and it was probably lasted 7 or so years into the late 90s, or maybe into the 2000s, and then just didn't get enough support. So probably was dormant for about 6 or 7 years, and then just felt like it was time for us to recognize that. So we pulled that together again, and Gene Klein, who's retired now, since he's helped me. He was my assistant athletic director at the time, and then Jerry Vesher, who had retired as a teacher. And just because of their history with Quaker Valley, we were able to put it together, and we're close to 10 years. We, unfortunately, because of COVID this year, we made an early decision to take a hiatus, take a year off, you know, with everything going on early. You know, the Hall of Fame weekend is a Friday recognition at one of our home football games, and then Saturday is a day that we let all of our Hall of Famers reconnect to the Quaker Valley area with friends and family, and then we do a Sunday morning banquet at Slippery Heights so that they can travel. But, you know, with travel and all the restrictions, then we just felt we didn't want to put people in that way and being unsure. So we just figured, you know, we're just going to move our class this year and next year and announce that down the road. But we'll continue to go, and then it's turned into a great event. It's just really, really a nice event, and a lot of supportive people that have helped. So, and you know, one of these years here, we're in progress of getting a new building done, our new high school, and then there definitely will be a dedicated area for us to recognize
Hall of Fame class, and then just our sports history as well. The number of things in our school now, we are really tied up the space, so we try to do the best we can. But I know in the new building, there's definitely be an opportunity to showcase ourselves much better.
Good, good, good. Well, before we get on with our Eric Jackson, Lurie lightning round, tell us about your kids. They're doing some exciting things in sports themselves. They're no longer kids, but tell us a little bit about your son and daughter.
Yeah, sure. Well, I have two daughters and a son. My oldest daughter is teach in the Moon School District. She'll be entering. She's a first grade teacher and in her fifth year of teaching. She just recently got hired here 2 months ago as the head coach, like girls head coach at Boone. So she's pretty excited at a very young age to be taking over a very good program there. But more importantly, we had a wedding here. We had a move for her. She's supposed to get married July 11th. So COVID won on that one too. So
right.
We moved that one back to October. But she enjoys teaching. She's doing an excellent job. My younger daughter, Emily, just moved to Cleveland. We just moved there a few weeks ago. She took a job with a big company in Cleveland. So she's doing extremely well. She worked here in Pittsburgh. She's a doctoral graduate and worked here for 3 years. So it dates with a great company in Pittsburgh. And then had an opportunity to take this position in Cleveland. So we just moved her up actually a few weeks ago. So she's doing extremely well there. And then my son is a senior at Ohio State. He's in the Fisher Business School and actually here all summer. He's interning here with Mylan online and doing a lot of good things. And he actually is a practice player / coach / everything with the Ohio State men's basketball team. He travels with them in the Big Ten, and he's looking to get into coaching. And is involved in a lot of different things. So he'll be a senior this year, graduating here next spring.
Goes quick. It goes. I still remember. I tell people the day before my daughter started her freshman year at Quaker Valley, we ran into you. And
I remember. Yeah.
And now she's a sophomore at Pitt. I mean, how the hell did that happen? How fast that went?
That's funny because I can remember that, and it doesn't seem like we're going on 5 or 6 years. It was like last year. Yeah.
It does. It does. It seems like you said, it seems like last year. I mean, it's crazy. That's the fastest, 6 years, I guess that is? Fastest 6 years of my life, Mike. It's just, again, I repeat, it seemed like a year ago, but it wasn't.
I totally feel the same way.
But we're gonna take our final commercial break to hear from our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, at 502 Cabot Avenue, call 412-372-3667, and criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Lurie with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308. Right back with Mike Mastriani.
It's so nice to be outside this time of year to enjoy boating, fishing, gardening, and golf.
How about swimming and playing in the park, Grandpa?
Yes, it is, Parker. Unless you're experiencing sneezing, headaches, nasal congestion, itchy, watery eyes, and hives, it's allergy season.
Can you help people feel better, Grandpa?
Yes, Parker. At the Roscoe Allergy Center in Dubois, folks can get relief so they can enjoy their summer. Call us today, 814-375-0455.
Solutions with the care you've been looking for.
Gotcha.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has 3 convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at AspirePediatricTherapy.com.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Don Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.
Okay, Mike, we have something called the Eric Jackson Lurie Lightning Round. I'll ask you 4 or 5 questions and give me 4 or 5 quick answers. All right, favorite basketball player of all time?
Oh, Pete Maravich.
That's mine too. Very good. I love Pete Maravich. Very underrated. The greatest passer I've ever seen in my life. The greatest ball handler. And I wish people would talk about him more. Anyway, favorite college team growing up?
North Carolina.
Okay. I didn't like them. I liked NC State for obvious reasons. most memorable moment as a player?
Geez. That was a long time ago.
That's all right.
We won a playoff game. I remember we won our first round playoff game. We beat Wash I at Keystone Oaks. A very good Wash I team.
All the awards that you have won, is there one that's the most special?
Probably not. I would say, the best that there was a few. If I had to do that, probably be some of the feedback that I get from my former players, their notes or letters or things that they've said after they've finished playing or told me something kicks in and understand that I think those are way better than any medal or trophy.
All right. Last question, and I'm really curious for your answer on this one. Do you like college hoops better today or when you were a kid? Now, before you answer that question, we had the Big East, and the Big East back then was big time. Then you had, the A-10 back then. Well, Duquesne was tough, and they played some big time ball. Players.
If you allow me to say, when I was a kid, the Big East, like in the 80s, the Big East.
Seventies, eighties, compared to now.
There's no doubt the Big East put college basketball on the map. I would pick that for sure. And I don't dislike today, but there's nothing like it. The reason college basketball is where it is today, and it's at the high level, is because how the Big East was formed and got on a national scope, and then just the rivalries. I would definitely say.
So you agree that there was, it's much more intense back then.
Yeah. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. There was much more, and just a different era and just a different approach. Not saying it was better, but just the approach. But I think that set up today's game and the level of how it is, with the atmosphere and just how big it is. Because they sort of probably laid the groundwork, probably the best way of putting it.
All right.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, the Big East years.
I'm going to ask you one more question. Now, yeah. I've been rather critical of today's baseball, the players, the way it's coached, but especially the players. In my opinion, and I sound like an old man, but in the 70s and 80s and a piece of the 90s, those guys were much more skilled. They might not be as big or look like bodybuilders or whatever the hell the case is now, but on the field, they were the pitchers had more movement, the hitters had much better mechanics, they knew how to run the bases better, they knew how to bunt. Can you compare? What do you say about that in basketball? Is it better now, or would you say the skill level and the passing? I still think the passing was much better back then than it is now, but. What do you think? You think the skill level was better then or now?
I don't want to go in the wrong direction with it, but I think the best part of then is the connection that you were able to watch somebody and see somebody over a long period of time. I think that part of it, you got an appreciation of how good someone was because you knew him. I mean, you could probably, in the 70s, name the whole lineup.
I can find for all those years
because they were there for 10 years and they were there. Maybe someone would come in every 4 years, but then that guy was there for 8 or 10 years. So I think there was like a better appreciation and better connection. So you got to see them over time and, you understood them better. Now I just think, guys are in, guys are out. And the other part, which, I don't want to prove to be a baseball guy, you are, I get it because it's all about money, but I tell my son and I tell young guys now, they keep counting these pitches and
you know, Sunday night's telling the Orioles had 4 20 game winners and like
right,
you know,
right.
pitched into the eighth inning every night and their
right.
runs didn't fall off and they're you know, there's something for I say that the young basketball coaches they sometimes the worst the best advice is not to overcoach.
Right.
And like, you know, I get it, you have to count pitches because of the volume of them, but, you know, I think sometimes they're just doing things that are like, and I think that's ruined baseball more than any sport, like the overcoaching of it. And like, you sort of have to go on instincts, get to go on feel sometimes.
Exactly.
You got to roll
exactly.
the dice, and you got to make decisions, and sometimes they're not going to all be right, but during the time, you've been there before, you have a good feel. I
right.
think that's gone away. It's about numbers, stop.
Analytics.
And, yeah, so I've never, in my coaching, I've never, you know, I look at them, but I don't base a lot of things. I still, you know, rather not. But baseball, I think that's where baseball more than anything.
Right. I'm with you.
But we were fortunate, though. I mean, I think we didn't really know. We thought that was the norm. Like, man, you know, we World Series teams and Super Bowl teams, and that's just what happens every year. But we were very fortunate.
We were lucky. I mean, that era of the 70s, 80s, and again, the piece of 90s, but especially when we were growing up, even in professional wrestling with Bruno, I mean, everything just seemed so much better back then. And I hope that kids today can look at their sport, whatever it
yeah.
is, baseball, basketball, football, whatever. And I hope that they can have the magical moments like we had. I don't hear about it, but I hope they do, because we were really lucky to grow up in that era for sure. But
yeah, I think getting back to your question, though, like the skill set of players, if you're relating to the basketball, guys still put in a lot of time. Their skill set, and they like whether it's like they can shoot at a high level or handle the ball, that's extremely high. And guys are athletic, but you're right. The grind on the team part is probably not at the level because of the way that it's played now. And so, like your point is about how does everybody pass and how everybody. In baseball, did all the little things more.
Right, right.
It wasn't about those numbers. It was just about winning more. So
right.
In terms of that, I mean, today's players in high school still look pretty skilled. But just the way that the game is played, it's just the approach is much different.
Right. Well, Mike, I can't thank you enough for being on the show, for taking time. Congratulations to all of your successes. And I know there's a ton more accomplishments left. I appreciate the way you've always been with me. And of course, as I said, having a hand in me being at Carnegie Mellon, I can never thank you enough for that. Again, thank you for everything and continued success on the field and off.
Appreciate it, Claudio. You're the best. Appreciate
all right, brother.
It anytime.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, everyone. As always, I want to thank our guest, Mike Mastriani, great guy. Thank our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar at 502 Cabot Avenue. Call Dom at 412-372-3667. And criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Lurie, with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308. Next week's guest, as I said earlier, is 2002-2005 Boston Red Sox All-Star Shea Hillenbrand. He's got a great story. He's definitely somebody you want to listen to. As I said, check out our past shows. We have a lot of fantastic guests, and I appreciate everybody's time. The emails have been coming in since our last show and with a lot of great questions, and we'll definitely have another mailbag show. And you can listen to the show at ClaudioRalsano.com, Spotify, Stitcher, and iTunes. Subscribe to the show. And as always, want to thank my mom and dad, because without my mom and dad, I would not be doing the things I'm doing today on the field and off. So thanks again, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Be sure to tune in next time on ClaudioRalsano.com.
It's so nice to be outside this time of year to enjoy boating, fishing, gardening, and golf.
How about swimming and playing in the park, Grandpa?
Yes, it is, Parker. Unless you're experiencing sneezing, headaches, nasal congestion, itchy, watery eyes, and hives, it's allergy season.
Can you help people feel better, Grandpa?
Yes, Parker. At the Roscoe Allergy Center in Dubois, folks can get relief so they can enjoy their summer. Call us today, 814-375-0455.
Solutions with the care you've been looking for.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Don Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.